there's no other way to explain why I would want to still do this when I've had months with my clothing company where I didn't get a single sale, but I'm still speaking in classrooms. I'm still motivating somebody else to live out their dreams. I'm still having hour, 2 hour, 3 hour long conversations with a friend about starting a business and why they should do this, and giving them websites and resources and pointing them into the right direction, because I believe in people. I believe in missions. I believe in seeing the change that I want to see, but it really does have to start with myself.
This is the Cracking Creativity Podcast, episode number 35, with Alex Hance. Welcome to the Cracking Creativity Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Chung, and I'm here to show you how creatives turn their ideas into action, create interesting projects, and build an engaged audience with their shared passions. Now let's get creative. In this episode of the Cracking Creativity Podcast, I talk to Alex Hance, who is the owner of Foolies Clothing and the host of Dream Without Limits Radio. In it, Alex talks about pursuing your dreams and why some people don't, the $2 mindset versus the $2,000 mindset, and why you should never give up. Now on to the episode. Welcome to another episode of Cracking Creativity. Today I have on Alex Hance, who is the CEO of Foolies. CEO/magician, and he is also the host of the Dream Without Limits radio show. Alex,
yeah.
Can you tell us some about Foolies, your podcast, and some more about what you do?
So Alex Ramon Hans, Hance, doesn't matter. I usually go by whatever people call me, as we were talking about before the call. Usually people even call me Nemo. It's a name I acquired in college because I used to wear a Nemo backpack everywhere. That was my first lesson on branding. So whatever you wear, people attach you to it for the rest of your life. So that's that. So Foolies kind of stemmed out of being that Nemo guy as well, because it was all about me being different and creative and stepping out of the box and not doing what everyone else wanted me to do, not being the being willing to be that square in the circle kind of thing. And what happened was I was rapping, MCing, kind of building up in the music space, and me and my engineer at the time, brother of another color and mother, so a white guy, we were, I don't know how we kind of messed around with different phrases, and we were just like, we need something to like make people know who we are when the song starts. And I think we might have joked around and said, this is pretty foolish, or foolish of us. And maybe I yelled out, Foolies, and just kind of playing around. And I was like, man, that's really cool, Foolies. And what is a foolie? You know, thinking about it and thinking like, oh, man, this person might be somebody like really crazy to live out like a goal, a dream, or aspiration. And they're just so driven that everyone around them just calls them a fool. So that's what we kind of ran into and like turned the definition into. And it eventually went from me just saying it in the music. So anytime I would start a song, it would be like, Foolies, it's the movement. And that would kind of be how I started. And then eventually we were like, well, you know, rappers have clothing lines, right? That's cool to do. So let's try this out. You know, maybe we'll make like millions of dollars, and like all this college stuff would have made sense now because we, you know, beat the system, whatever. And that didn't happen. We ironed Foolies on a shirt. And it was just like a dirty white shirt, you know, something we had laying around, and we had a laser ink printer. I would put it on a bunch of my friends wearing the same shirt and taking pictures in it, making it seem like it was bigger than what it was. But somebody eventually was like, I want one. And we're like, we do? So we started like kind of moving it on Cafe Press and Reverb Nation. That's like a site platform for artists so they can sell their music, their merchandise, all of that stuff. So we would sell stuff on there. And we had Photoshop, like we knew the basics of Photoshop, so we would just make cool phrases and quotes, put it up on t-shirts and stuff like that. But we started realizing that at first we were really trendy, so whatever popular song was out, we would make a t-shirt for. And after a while, it was like, man, I hate the feeling of this is a trend, another trend, another trend, and we fade out again and again and again. We keep having to change things because all we're doing is fitting in a convenient pocket and trying to capitalize off that. And so, you know, we started thinking, like, what? We need motivation. Like, people want to be inspired. Like, if you're a foodie, having a quote on the shirt that has nothing to do with the mission doesn't really work. So if we want to inspire people to live out their goals and dreams because they're called fools for doing so, the shirt has to reflect that. So, you know, we started playing around with different phrases like "you can't stop me" or "nothing can defeat you" and just little stuff, and then we stumbled upon Dream Without Limits. And when we put that out, I put it on two of my homegirls. So they were very pretty as well. at least by my standards, they're pretty. And, you know, down-to-earth girls, nothing crazy about them. You know, they weren't, like, flashing or showing off anything fancy. They just had on a shirt with nice smiles, just a nice warm image in the shirt. And that made people say, yo, I need one of those. So it wasn't just like, oh, I want one because everyone else was wearing one. It was like, now I need one of those. And so that was interesting, too. It's like, what did we just strike a chord in? You know, what did we just do to the mind and the emotions to see these words on a shirt that said Dream Without Limits, which is like the ultimate testimony of a foodie? And so that just spiraled into all this different stuff. That's what made me create the Dream Without Limits radio show, because it was like I kept meeting different people, different game changers in the city, different dynamic leaders throughout Florida or just the country. Or you just always saw me doing something, you know, pretty interesting. And I would share these long Facebook forum posts about, you know, the amazing people that I'm meeting and getting in contact with. And I was like, what if I just recorded this? I'm like, made it so where everyone could hear it versus just writing a long form paragraph. And I can let you overhear the conversations we were having about living out your goals and dreams, about finding mentors, about starting a business, about growing your brand, about just getting through tomorrow or getting through today to make it into tomorrow. So all of this stuff that formed, I mean, I can't really take the credit. It's definitely a God-driven thing. So, I mean, it's my faith. It's God. It's who put the idea inside me to get all of this out. Just really my heart and passion to encourage people to live out their dreams, to live out their goals. Because there's a lot of broken and lonely people and hurting people and people who have been crushed by a lot of minimal-minded or small-minded people. And they've let that be their truth. So I'm just happy that this company is existing so that we can give people hope again.
Did you grow up wanting to be a rapper or a musician or a DJ or something to do with music?
Yes, but it was in the 90s. The only cool rapper at the time might have been Jay-Z. Like, of course, there was a lot of cool rappers if you want to look into like the history books of the rap game. But to my family, it wasn't really anybody important. So I knew the big names of the 90s and the 80s, the people who came before then, because maybe I was searching through tapes because I was listening to tape cassettes at the time. And, you know, I was having a young friend, a friend of mine's that I called my brother. He was showing me, like, vinyls and spinning records for me, and that stuff interested me. So I've always had a passion for music, always been interested into it. But to my family and friends, that doesn't make you money. That's a get your head out the clouds thing. You know, I used to draw and be creative, and that wasn't cool. You know, growing up in the 90s, like, there wasn't all this dreamer talk now. You know, now everyone, I call it the Steve Jobs era, so everyone's a big dreamer now, and everyone has these big ideas. But in the 90s, it was get a job, stay quiet, comply, climb up the ladder, and if you're lucky, you'll retire, and you may get a plaque on the wall, and that's it. And so it wasn't cool when I wanted to act and tap dance and do hip-hop dancing. It wasn't cool. Like, that was, like, very whimsical stuff. And so people just were like, why don't you become a doctor? Or why don't you learn about computer engineering? Like, that makes a lot of money. And all people would do is talk about money, 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 money. But no one around me was ever happy who did those things. So it's like, wait. So you guys are doctors and scientists and lawyers and all this stuff, but you're not even happy. So did somebody make you get this job and say, yeah, this is what you have to do, and now you think that's what I have to do? And so I think that's kind of what happened. So I've always had a passion for this stuff, but just wasn't around the right people.
I think technology has a lot to do with the ability to become dreamers and doers, because before that, it was very hard to reach other people because you had to go out and meet everyone individually.
Right. Door-to-door sales, all that stuff. So that wasn't cool. You know, you saw a guy with Tupperware knocking at your door. Who wants to grow up and be that guy? But little did you know, he's an entrepreneur. He's taking care of home. He's $1 million, you know, bachelor or whatever that may be. Not that he's using that in a means to brag, but he has freedom. He invests. He has these things in his mind. You know, he's doing more than what you guys see, and he's building up his empire. You know, now you probably have Tupperware that sells millions of Tupperware items to the world, but maybe he started off as a door-to-door salesman. I don't know that person's story, but I feel like that's what we saw. We saw the salesmen in the suits and ties and just thought that wasn't something we should be doing.
I talked to a lot of artists, and they are in the similar mindset to the people who don't think they can make it. What do you think it is that prevents people from going after the stuff that they want to do?
You know, parts of me would, you know, the first person would probably say fear, and how fear stops them and all this other stuff, but I don't really think it's fear at all. I think it's just people don't want to work hard. You know, like, your brain, and I've talked about this in videos and things I posted, your brain is designed to stop you from doing certain things. So if you had the mindset to jump out of a plane, and you had a parachute, you had a safety net at the bottom, you had everything going right, your brain is naturally going to say, well, this plane's working perfectly fine. I don't know if you should jump out. You know, so your heart starts beating fast, you start sweating, you know, maybe you start losing maybe consciousness a little bit because you're kind of dazing out. And so you just sit down and say, you know what, I don't think I can get, you know, I don't think I can jump out of this plane because it doesn't feel right. And what does that feeling stem from? The chemicals in your body and all that other stuff. You know, it's physiology, essentially, which is my first degree in sports medicine, applied physiology and kinesiology. So the body is supposed to react. You know, if you touch a hot stove, your body will naturally latch back. You're not supposed to touch that. That's too hot. You know, until somebody walks on fire, and then it's like, wait, how did he do that? So it's all mental. And I think that people just don't want to really put in that work. You know, to be an entrepreneur, to do this podcast, like, you have to take your time, your precious time out of your schedule to do something extra. And, you know, I don't know if this is making you dollars per se, but you're passionate about it. And so people sometimes want to see immediate results. So you're probably podcasting. If you're making money, then phenomenal. Show me how to do it. But if you're not, then what else is driving you? You know, it's not motivation, because, like, you could be motivated and do nothing. You know, it's not because you're making money. If you are, then great. If you're not, then whatever. But it's just a willingness. Like, you had to send me a schedule. You had to correspond back and forth with emails with me. You had to take the time out. You know, when we started the call, you had to reset your computer because the microphone wasn't working just yet. You know, all those things, like, that stuff is mental barriers for people. And somebody might say, you know what, I'm never doing this podcast again. This is way too much stress. This is way too much work. You know, and you can even tell somebody right now, I can teach you how to start a business with $100, and there's a book about that. So I can teach you how to start a business with $100, and I can turn you into a millionaire, but it will take you 10 years. Somebody would definitely say, nah, don't worry about it. I'm okay. But I'm telling you, I can turn you into a millionaire. You got loans, right? Yep. You got bills, right? Yep. You got a kid or two, right? You would like to put them through college without them having to get out loans and all that stuff. Yep, I would. Okay, cool. But you're going to have to do 10 years of work first. Oh, 10 years of work? I don't know. You know, now there's a problem. Why is there a problem? Because it's more than what you thought. And that's why people love the get-rich-quick videos, and, you know, people want to do multi-level marketing, and I get it. That's cool. That sells. That helps you. But people are trying to use those means to get to the top because they think it's an easy way to do it. This entrepreneurship stuff, this life is work. Time, energy, all the stuff, but you still life every day. Life doesn't, you know, you don't stop. I'm not going to wake up today, guys. I'm done with life. You don't say that. But you do say that when it comes to starting your own business, creating other content, going out and volunteering in your community, now you're too stressed, you're tired, you don't have the time. No, you're just uninspired and you don't like to work. And that's really all it is. And somebody will kick back and they're cynical and say, "Nuh-uh, you don't know my struggle," but everybody has a story. So there, and we're no different. Me and you, you and Oprah, Tony Robbins, Seth Godin, Gary Vaynerchuk, like those guys, like they, if I cut all of us with the deepest knife I could, we're gonna all bleed out the same blood. We all have the same 24 hours. We all do the same things. We stand up, we piss, we use the bathroom like each other. Maybe our bathrooms are different because we got bigger homes or smaller homes, but it's all the same stuff. The difference between those guys and me or anybody else is that our willingness, or the difference will be that willingness to actually work, especially being able to work when there's no money coming in.
The road is long and hard. Have you ever thought about giving up while on this journey towards making a difference?
hell yes. I think I want to give up every 10, 15 minutes, man. Like I said, life is tough. You know what I'm saying? Life is a struggle. Life is hard. I'm not, you know, I didn't have things handed to me. Not disrespecting anybody who has. That's great, because that means somebody prepared something, prepared a way for you to have more. But, you know, I lost my mom at a young age, and my father's never been a figure in my life. And I've always just had to work for something. And so I've always wanted to be like, oh, this is stupid, I want to quit. You know, as a young black male, I have to look at some of my counterparts with the white, black, Asian, and say, man, like, wow, why is he the next tech owner? Why is he the millionaire? Why is she this? Why is they this? Why is this happening? So a lot of outside factors hit me, you know, messages from the media, you know, stories that, you know, maybe the different communities tell you about your culture and race and what you can and can't do. And so there's a lot of elements of wind, rain, water, fire, and stuff hitting me that would essentially make an average human being stop. And that's why I'm a magician, because this has to be magic. There's no way, magic and faith, and there has to be, there's no other way to explain why I would want to still do this when I've had months with my clothing company where I didn't get a single sale, but I'm still speaking in classrooms. I'm still motivating somebody else to live out their dreams. I'm still having 1-hour, 2-hour, 3-hour-long conversations with a friend about starting a business and why they should do this, and giving them websites and resources and pointing them into the right direction, because I believe in people. I believe in missions. I believe in seeing the change that I want to see, but it really does have to start with myself. And so every single day I want to give up, but I think about, you know, the Nick Vujicic, if I pronounce his name right. You know, he's a young man with no arms and legs, and he's a motivational speaker. He's speaking to thousands and thousands of people. I'm like, man, I have all my limbs, all my hands and stuff work, my body parts work, you know, there's nothing physically, you know, from a look at least. If you looked at me and you looked at Nick, you'd be like, oh, Alex should probably be the better individual. Not because you're, you know, negative in your thinking, just from a physical appearance. But Nick's working a lot harder than me, most likely, but he has more adversity. There's more odds against him. If I lose my legs today, I probably would quit my job and go on a worldwide speaking tour if I survived, and tell you like how to run far with no legs. And I have books and DVDs, and you know, not really making a joke out of my plight, but just because I want to inspire other people to continue running. So if I had no legs and no arms, I probably would work a lot harder, just as Nick is. He had to fight through a lot of stuff, whether it was killing himself or, you know, these suicidal thoughts, all these things that he was battling with because he had no arms, no legs. And I'm sure he wants to quit every day. I'm sure Oprah wants to quit. I'm sure Steve Harvey wants to quit. I'm sure all of these CEOs that we look at, Bill Gates, I'm sure Steve Jobs eventually, you know, stepped down. And I'm sure that was crushed. I'm sure that crushed him before he passed, that he had to step down because maybe he knew his health conditions were getting worse. And he didn't even stop because he wanted to. he got taken out the game, unfortunately. So it's like, am I willing to go down with a fight like Ali, you know, in the last round, or am I just going to get knocked down and cry to everyone else about what didn't happen and what if and maybe and what if, could have, should have, and then I got to look at my future kids, whoever they may be, boys or girls, and say, yeah, you should live out your dreams. And when they say, Daddy, what did you do? I quit. I don't have the heart to look my child in the face and tell them that their father was a winner.
You mentioned a lot of people in there. How do you find the people that you want to follow and look up to and follow the example of?
Well, there's this really cool thing called the internet, you know? And I made this joke with another friend of mine's, but it's really because it is such a, like, it's such a, you know, I don't know if viable is the word, but it's such a viable resource. It's there. You know, we can, I was just saying the other day that we can make a meme for anything that happens in the world. Let something happen tomorrow morning, a new Caitlyn Jenner situation, a new Grammy Award winning situation where somebody falls and maybe, like, you know, trips over a stage or a light power cord, whatever. And we'll have a meme out 15 seconds. Like, I remember when Manny Pacquiao got knocked out of one of his rounds. Great fighter. But when he got knocked out, there was all these symbol memes and all these different memes floating through the internet. And it took seconds. And I was like, man, imagine if a company found out who created these memes and pulled them all on their marketing team and said, hey, imagine if we reacted as a company to any little situation and made those actions go viral, what that could do for our company. If maybe there was a link on there to go to a website, to buy a shirt, to do this, to do that, to capitalize. Because that's what marketing and all that stuff is about, capitalizing on an opportunity. And so the internet is so powerful. I watched a three-hour a piece seminar called You Were Born Rich by Bill Proctor. Very old school. You can tell it was like 80s, 90s graphics. Like, things were like spinning out like Word document, or like with Microsoft Word had their font thing that was really cool when we were kids. And so I watched a whole seminar. Now somebody's going to say, Alex, I don't have 3 hours to sit down. And neither did I. But I know sometimes I'm on Facebook for an hour. I know sometimes I'm watching House of Cards all freaking night and White Collar. So how about I step back from the House of Cards and my Netflixing, and how about I step back from Facebook, and then I build my mind up using YouTube, using Facebook, using Twitter. These guys and girls are all over the place, and, you know, there's a really big quote that gets stated that if you want to hide something from someone, put it in a book. And that's really where it is. That's where the next best content is. Because before there was YouTube and Facebook and social media, the Benjamin Franklins, the Franklin D. Roosevelts, all these people, they used the library, the best resource on earth that's probably underused, underutilized, not even appreciated like it should be. And now libraries have, like, there's a library here in Orlando called the Melrose Center that has a full-on suite with Photoshop, video gear, sound booth, equipment, and you don't know about it because you have yet to search. But you're saying right now, man, I would kill to be able to put out an album with my musical content on there and get a CD out to the world. They have a freaking free center with a studio. You could record within a week or two, and they'll show you how to use the equipment, but you're not looking. And so the internet is amazing and it's powerful, and it's going to keep changing the lives of people who want their life to be changed.
There are a couple things in there that I wanted to touch on before I asked another question. One was the thing about the tweet, like, of Pacquiao. I remember in the Super Bowl in New Orleans where the lights went out, Oreos had a tweet that went viral because they were right on top of it as it happened, and it spread almost instantaneously because someone was thinking, what can I say to make it, like, appear to everybody?
Right.
Exactly. So it's just that different mindset. And then there's the other thing was I don't know if you've heard of this rapper. His name is Prince Harvey. And he recorded an entire rap album.
The guy from the Apple Store.
Yeah, in an Apple Store. And he went to multiple locations and he did it piece by piece. And every single sound in the album was like from him for the most part.
Nice.
And he did it over a long
time. And because he wanted to work hard. That's it. He was willing to do work, to drive to Apple Store, record, do stuff. We had to sneak to do that. You know, that's somebody who wants it. That's the person I want to hire to work alongside my company. Because if they're willing to hustle in Apple Store and put out an album, God knows what they could do for your company if they're on your team.
It doesn't even matter if you like his music particularly or not. It's just the fact that he was willing to go through so many hoops to accomplish a dream that he has.
Exactly. Agreed.
Well, before we actually started the call, you mentioned the $2 mindset versus the $2,000 mindset. Can you explain them what that means and why people should have the $2,000 mindset?
So I feel like everyone, like you said, has a certain mindset. And so you tell someone with a $2 mindset, hey, I want to start a business and I want to change the world. And the first thing they're going to say is like, well, realistically speaking, you can't do that. And there's no possible way. And how can you do that? You don't know anybody. You're not a celebrity. You're not this, you're not that. And then you have the person with the $2,000 mindset that's like, well, how do you want to change the world? Well, I want to make t-shirts. Well, what would you want to put on a t-shirt? Let's say you put on a t-shirt, I want to change the world. Okay, well, cool. How much does that cost? Would you go to the print deck? Can we print that ourselves? Can we iron that on? What can we do next? And so that person with the $2,000 mindset or even $2 million mindset may say, well, and then that next person with the $2 million mindset may say, well, what if we reached out to the Bank of America or Wells Fargo because they have a Change the World campaign? Maybe we can pitch them this idea that maybe they can sponsor and we'll put their names on the back of our shirts. And so you have these different mindsets. That $2 mindset person is somebody you want to stay the absolute mess away from. And maybe you want to be around them because, like, sometimes it's good to have that cynical person who believes in nothing and thinks nothing is cool. So you can get some pushback if you don't want to be around a bunch of motivators, per se. You want to actually, if you're motivated by, like, somebody telling you you suck, like I do, so maybe that's why you may want them around you. But if you do want to build, grow, and advance yourself, it may take you to be around somebody with that $2 million mindset that says, you know what, let's look at this situation. Let's see if there's a way to solve this, and how can we do this? Who can we talk to? Well, before Kickstarters, you had to ask people for money. Family, friends, call people. Mom would, you know, you'd give mom a box of chocolates, tell her, hey, could you sell this at the job for me? And mom would go in and say, hey, my son is trying to start a business. You guys should buy his chocolate for $5 a piece. And when we get all the orders in, we'll email you, or not email you, but we'll bring the chocolate into work. And people will support those things. So you really have to, I don't know, be willing to be around people who are about strategy and not complacency. You know, a lot of people just want to tell you, that $2 mindset person wants to just say, well, yeah, you can never do that because maybe you're too short and you're talking about wanting to dunk a basketball. So you're 5'6" and the rest of the basketball players are 6'3", 6'4", 6'8". But maybe now that $2 mindset person will say, hey, let's use that thing called the internet and let's Google if there's ever been a player under 6 feet. And then you'll find Muggsy Bogues. You'll find all these industry or all these people in your industry that has done it with less resources, more things against them, more adversity. And then that's that hope you get. And like, oh man, if this guy's under 6 foot and he made it into the league, there's hope for me too. And so you really had to be around the right people. I mean, they say it all the time, you're a summation of your 5 friends. I've heard someone take that quote deeper. So you're the summation of your 5 friends, the 5 things you look at, the 5 things you've read last, the 5 people you've text messaged, the 5 things you've tweeted. And so it is that deep. Like, you are that summation of the 5 things all around you, whether it's your thoughts, your your last 5 thoughts. If you're listening to this right now, what were your last 5 thoughts? And could you honestly say that those last five thoughts could produce wealth in your mind or wealth in your pockets, whatever? Could that produce life? Did that promote anything to make someone better? And if your last five thoughts couldn't even move you to say you've done something for the world, then as you listen to this, I hope you have five new thoughts to put in place.
That's awesome. What would you recommend to somebody that has an idea but they don't know what to do? What would you tell that person?
I mean, I could say you did it, but you know, somebody would say, "All right, Alex, like you're killing me now." It's not that easy, but it really is. I mean, if you have an idea, the one thing that I love about the tech community, and that's why I hang around a lot of tech guys, even though I'm not a techie, so I don't want anyone to think I'm computer savvy, I'm a tech master. No, I just like hanging around tech people because they always do this, they have like things called Startup Weekend. So if you guys never heard of that, take advantage of that. It's an amazing event that's probably happening in your city and you don't know about it because you don't use your internet. And they're all about this minimal viable product. And so before they go start off, like, you know, to put this in context for a listener who's like, I'm not a tech person. So before they go build a restaurant, they'll start a Twitter account that talks about food they enjoy. And they'll build that Twitter account up and get feedback from their customers or from the people who follow them about what they should talk about next. And so if you want to start a business, think big, but then scale it down to the smallest possible sense. If that's just a blog or a shirt design or whatever, and get feedback. Like, don't go print up, and me and my friend talked about this in an interview, don't go print up 10,000 shirts and then be mad that no one wants to buy your ugly shirts. You didn't ask anybody. You didn't get any feedback. You didn't let people give you critiques. And I know sometimes it's tough because we all have this thing where we think our ideas are so creative and like everyone wants to steal these innovative thoughts. Like, be flattered if someone steals your thoughts. And if they do, just make a website and a book about how to get your business stolen that's a $1 million idea or something. Like, turn it into a means to, like, a profit. Right? And then you can go around the country talking about businesses who stole your ideas and how to get, like, your ideas to be so great that people want to steal them, and then teach people how to trademark right and copyright and give people easier solutions to secure themselves. So it's just about feedback. Get feedback. Look at every Amazon review. Like, it's there. Like, if you want to write a book, look at your favorite book that's in the same genre and look what everybody else said about the book. And then, based off of what they said in that interview or that review, take it and then don't put the stuff that people hated in your book that you read. And it was all there. Just be willing to talk about it and ask people. I mean, like I said, these ideas aren't that original. Facebook isn't something new and innovative. They just were willing to get continuous feedback to grow. iTunes, like, I hate iTunes sometimes because it's always asking me to update. Like, why are we updating again for the 15th time? But I had to sit back and think, man, iTunes is probably doing constant, like, marketing research and testing and looking into the habits of users, and like, they want to change things to make it cooler, leaner, slimmer, different font styles, different ways to purchase songs, introducing podcasts. They want to keep building and creating something new. So it's okay to have a beta or a, you know, version A, and then have a version, you know, X, Y, and Z. That's okay. And sometimes people need to understand that you can start from the smallest of seeds, and that'll produce a humongous tree or oak tree or whatever. You guys can look up oak trees on the internet and then find out how that grows and how long it takes for that to grow. It's the same concept.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the looking at the smallest step that you can take towards your goal. Because if you look at the big picture of anything, like, say you were Steve Jobs and you wanted to start Apple, you didn't completely go in there thinking, oh, I'm going to make phones one day that will have the internet on them. That wasn't a thing at all. He's like, oh, I want to make a better computer with a good interface. And that's like the very beginnings of something that is now the most wealthy corporation in the entire world.
Exactly.
There's also the Amazon thing. One thing Jay Abraham said, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he takes the 3-star reviews because those are like mostly the balanced ones. They have ideas of what's good and what's bad. They read what's bad, and then you can write a book about what gaps to fill in from the book. And you have like a book that everyone is looking for at that point.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I mean, it's the beauty of all of this stuff is that it's nothing new, so we can always find the ways. If you want to create your own airline company, I'm sure Wikipedia has told you from top to bottom how that formed, where that started, and how. And you can reverse engineer, which I think is a concept that people don't think about. Start from the top, the very top, the CEO, the big business, the company, the 401k of your dreams, and work backwards and figure out what steps did it take to get to that point that now you can see because you said, oh, well, he started here, and then backtracking, you know, all the way back down to where they started. Oh, it seems like it all started with him having a conversation with a guy in a bar. And maybe that's what I need to do, too. The best advice you'll probably get is from somebody who's not sober anyway, so they'll be honest with you and tell you if something's a great idea or a bad idea. And children. Children have an eye for things that we just wouldn't understand. I remember going over, like, website titles with a bunch of kids that I used to tutor at a middle school. And they said something to me, and I don't remember the name of the title and things I was trying to, like, give them ideas for. But they're like, that's stupid. I'm like, why is that stupid? They're like, well, it's too long. It's too complicated. It's not this. It's not that. And they really see the simplicity of things. And they were able to break down in their own way why this wouldn't be a good idea, but what would have made it a great idea. And I was like, wow, it's so crazy to hear from a kid what they like. Put something in front of a child. What gravitates them towards it? You know, what made them click it? How does a kid know to pick up a cell phone and just start using it? There's certain things that children know that they're innately built with, and that's probably where they're designing products for. They're not designing products for 50-year-olds, you know, 29-year-olds, 30-year-olds. They're designing things for kids. How can a kid integrate with it? How can a kid use it? Because if we make this easy enough for a kid, an adult will buy it perfectly, just fine.
There's two things in there. I don't know if you knew this, but Richard Branson, that's how he started Virgin Airlines.
Okay.
He was stuck in an airport, and he couldn't get a flight somewhere. So he's like, I'm never going to let this happen again. I'm going to create my own airline. And he's like, how can I buy a jumbo jet, Boeing jumbo jet? And he looked, and he found out, and then he made, like, a flight from New York to London to start out or something along those lines. And that's, like, the beginnings of Virgin Airlines.
Oh, well, how about that? I don't know. It just seems like it makes sense. So I'm just blurting out random thought process. This is literally all going to be freestyle, but it just seems like it makes sense. So I'm happy to know that that's been done. So now that cynical person who might have been listening, there you go. Richard Branson's cooler than me, and you can follow his method if you didn't think lines made any sense.
Also, there's... I don't know who it was, but there was a company or a school that went into Africa, and they put computers there, and they just left them there for the kids to learn on. Mm-hmm. And essentially, those kids taught themselves English and started teaching each other the curriculum that was on the computers, which is insane.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's powerful. Just sit something in front of a kid and watch them go to work.
I want to talk about your a few of your projects. So how do you come up with the design for Foolies, and how do you, at that point, take that design and then market it out to people?
Well, I have, like, friends. That sounds so bad, right? Like, other people don't have friends. But I have friends that I sit down that are of different, not mindsets, so I don't want to make it seem like any of my friends have a $2 mindset. Some may, but no disrespect to them. But, you know, I have friends who, I know their levels of taste. I know what they don't like, what they do like. I communicate with them often, and I think our phone book is a very underutilized business tool. There's hundreds of contacts in there, but we rarely contact the people in our phone. And I'll contact the people on my phone, and I won't ask them about, hey, I have a cool shirt design, let me send it to you. I'll ask them what they're going through. What are you battling with? What are you challenged with? What struggles are you having? Because I do want to know, you know, genuinely, not just to come up with a shirt idea. I do really care. And if I keep seeing the same thing, fear, I'm scared, I'm tired, I'm stressed, I'm tired, I'm this, and this, and this, and this. I'm like, faith over fear? You know, like, dream bigger? You know, whatever it takes out of those phrases, whether it's 100 calls or 300 calls, and honestly, more social media stuff. So I look up, I'm not inspired. I want to create a business, and I'll see all these different topics, and I'll see blogs and entrepreneur websites, and they're all talking about the same thing. So why not make a shirt? This isn't a shirt for us, but why not make a shirt that says, live life doing what you love? Because that's like a common thread around the world right now. Everyone wants to do what they love. So even simpler, write it, make a shirt that says, do what you love. Simple. Like, everyone's, like, the best advice I got was from a good friend who does a lot of sales, and I think he sells homes to people. And he says, I was like, how do you close deals? Like that must be tough, selling homes or selling insurance and stuff to people. Like, that's weird. And he was like, honestly, Alex, like, people tell me exactly what they want, and I just give it to them. So if you say, I want a house with this feet, this tall, this wide, this look, this feel, this style, and this neighborhood with this parking lot, with these kind of people, with this style, this demographic, then I just go search for what they just asked me for, and I give them what they want. People are telling us what they want. People tell you they don't like being used. They don't like when people promote to them. They don't want you posting on their Facebook wall. So what do? I stopped doing it because that's not a means to get to them anymore. People tell you they want genuine connections and authenticity and real and this and that. And so I just listen to people. I listen to the world that's crying for help. The world is literally crying and saying, man, no one believes in dreams anymore. No one believes in me. So maybe I'll make a shirt that says, believe in yourself. Because I'm seeing all these people that says, no one believes. You look up the hashtag, no one believes in me. And there's probably 50 million people saying that phrase or term in some kind of way. So then I'll just make a product based on what the world is telling me that they need help in.
I absolutely love that idea. That's just amazing. And it's so simple because you're just listening to people and giving them exactly what they want.
That's it. That's all it takes. Yeah, people tell us every single day. You call, like, ask someone what's the worst customer service experience they've ever had, and then what's the best one they've had. And they'll tell you exactly what went wrong. And so you should know, okay, cool, if that went wrong and this went wrong, and, you know, I didn't like that I was talking to this person and they didn't do this. All right, cool. Now you know what not to do and what you can do from the better customer service options that they told you. So it's very simple. It's, you know, all of this stuff isn't rocket science. You know, and people put so much thought into this stuff. Like, they overthink everything. And it's like, no, like, get back to the childlike basics. Children will tell you simple. I like it. I don't like it. It's good. It's bad. It's great. It's not great. This tastes good. Mommy, this tastes bad. This is icky. This smells. Like, they're really simple. They don't go into too much logic. They just know. And they're confident. Even if kids are wrong, they're confident and they're wrong. Like, until mom says, hey, that's, you shouldn't touch this because of this. And they're always asking why. Why? Why not? Why? Why can't I do this? Why? You know what I'm saying? So they always have this inquisitiveness as well because they're trying to figure out life. And so, you know, be more inquisitive. Keep it simple. These things is what helps probably the biggest businesses continue to be great.
Yeah, and it all goes back to your first shirt, funnily enough, because that was like, people came to you and like, how can I get one of those? I need one of those. And right. you're just providing those people through that first lesson you learn. Oh, everyone's looking for this, I might as well give it to them.
Right.
Cool. Your podcast, Dream Without Limits, can you talk about some of the lessons you've learned while doing that, and maybe a surprise that you learned while interviewing somebody or talking to somebody?
I've learned that Twitter is a very powerful tool to get your guests for your show, maybe the interviews for, you know, so I interview people for my show. Maybe you want an interview for a job of your dream. Maybe you want an interview with a big CEO or company because maybe they have some ideas that, you know, you've seen them build their company with and you want to figure it out. And I've learned that Twitter is a very powerful tool. Some of the guests that I've gotten onto my show, I literally just sent them a tweet and was like, hey, love what you do. Would love to get in, you know, touch with you and maybe get you on my show. And people look at their Twitter accounts. I remember reading something maybe back in like 2010-11 that said people are going to start responding quicker to their social medias before they respond to emails. And it's true. And people find some people take very much like very prideful. They're very prideful in the ownership of them tweeting and not sending out automatic tweets and all that stuff. Like, a lot of people do that. But some people take really, like, they use it as a badge of courage. Like, I'm tweeting for my account. So if you say, hey, I want to get you on my radio show, they're going to look at it. You don't know because you don't have a notification that says, Kevin Hart just looked at your tweet. So you don't have that. Maybe that's something someone can invent. But you can do that. And maybe if you get to tweet them enough, they may just listen, or they may run into you and say, oh yeah, you were that kid that were tweeting me. All right, cool. You know what? You're persistent. Let's set this interview up. So I learned that Twitter is very powerful. Social media is very powerful as well. I mean, Instagram is another great platform where I've reached out to different, like, up and coming figures or, you know, up and coming maybe fashion gurus and said, hey man, I would love to get you my shirt. Would love to put my product on your back. And, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, it's always going to be trial and error. I think that if I learned anything from any of my guests, I had a really cool guest. His name was Paul C. Brunson. And he's a relationship matchmaker. So he's almost like a modern day Hitch. And he quit his six-figure job. And his wife, like, cashed out her 401k and liquidated her funds just to help him get this business off the ground. And now dude's, like, a millionaire and really doing his thing. But he worked hard, so I'm not going to make it seem like he just had it all figured out. He worked really, really hard. And if I learned anything from him is, you know, if you're not learning from, like, the job that you're in or the company that you're at, or if you're not learning, period, then essentially you're not even living. And that's not exactly what he said, but that's what I took from it. If you're not learning, if it's not a space for you to grow, build, and make yourself a new and improved you, then you gotta go. It's not worth your time, your energy, or effort. So think about that while you guys are in any space. If you're not learning from it, then why are you investing your time into it? Things need to make us better. There's a lot of stuff that makes us stupid and naive and dumb and cynical and just unfaithful to the process of our goals and dreams. So start investing in people, content, like listen to more podcasts that teach us stuff, like read books outside of your schoolwork. Like, I know these things are occupying your time and you feel like there's no way to break that because you really need to read another chapter of your med school book. But take that break, whether it's the Bible, whether it's a book from John C. Maxwell, whether it's Seth, whether it's watching a YouTube video or an audio podcast or an Audible or whatever. Just find time to learn and grow, or just learn about different people. Like, if you see someone who's Spanish or Asian or just a different look, feel, culture, or somebody who has better suits than you, ask them, where do you get your suits from? Where do you get it tailored? Maybe that'll start telling you something about their life and career. Or honestly, maybe they'll say, hey, well, oh, funny you ask about my suits. I made them. I'm like, what? You made them? Yeah, you know, I design, I have fabric, and I have a big sewing machine, and my mom taught me how to sew. growing up, so I always kept this passion. But you wouldn't have never known that this guy is literally building his own suits that maybe cost him $15 to make. But to you, you're like, oh man, these suits are amazing. They might be $100,000 a piece. And all it took for you was to ask one question, and you learned that the man that you're looking at every day makes his own shirts and ties and the lies, and that's why he's so fresh every single day.
What is the next step in your entrepreneurial or, you know, learning journey? What are you going to do next?
What am I going to do next? I am going to pull more rabbits out of hats and continue with the smokes and mirrors and creating things that just aren't there. Because as you mentioned, and as I told you to mention, this is all magician work. This is all unreal until you make it real. Until I chain myself up and put myself in a tank and water with sharks and get out and escape free, no one's going to believe anything that I say in this call. You can tell them that I want to put thousands of kids in college and start entrepreneurship programs and invest in the next best technology, but none of that stuff is going to make sense until they see it. And so what I'm going to do next is get off this call whenever it's over and grind and keep working and keep praying and keep working and keep working until something happens. If I got to get in more schools to speak, whether I'm getting paid or not, I'm going to do it. More calls to my friends, finding out what's going on in their life so I can be a resource and help them. More sites that I'm going to research to find out what's next, what's growing, what's happening in the world. How can I make a solution and not complain about another problem? Whatever I need to do to make sure that I leave this earth and I've stained it, like completely, like as pouring bleach on a pair of your favorite Jordache jeans or polo jeans. I don't know what kind of jeans you guys wear. I get mine from Walmart, try them out. But just bleaching everything, because I just want to make a stain on this world that we're living in for the better. You know, this girl, Malala, I hope I said her name right. If I didn't, I apologize, but, you know, she's a refugee. She has this movement called Books Not Bullets, where, like, you know, her story, she got shot overseas, like, defending, like, kids and all this stuff. I don't know her full story, but when she turned 18, she opened up a school. And I'm like, dang, how cool is that? Like, she opened up a school on her 18th birthday? Like, talk about, like, selfless. Like, 18th birthday, like, that's for you. Like, that's your time to shine. That's your time to celebrate and honor that you're, like, almost an adult now. And somewhat legal in some regard. You can't drink, per se, but you can do something now that you couldn't do at 17 and 16. And so I just have to keep working and grinding, because if I want to maybe one day get a Nobel Peace Prize, or I want to open up, you know, stores across the country for foodies and have kids be able to come in and learn entrepreneurship in my store, so you can get a t-shirt and learn how to start your business and be all under the age of 14, 15, and that's cool. But once again, I just have to keep working in order to bring those things to life. And honestly, like, I can make a cool business plan and have 26 pages of what's going to happen, and then something just changes up, switches around, and that whole business plan is out the window. So I just have to keep leaning on faith and understand that this is a process, and I'm going to progress in this process, and that's what it's about. It's about the following the trail, beating the path, one foot in front of the other, and just being humble through all of this process. This moment right now that I'm in, and anyone listening to this, I am grateful and I am humble, and I am, you know, I get goosebumps and I want to cry every interview that I get on, because somebody actually cared to listen to me. I was told I was crazy growing up. Now people want to hear this crazy man speak. So this is cool. And, you know, I just want people to just do that. Just keep working, keep grinding, keep the big picture in mind, keep pushing. It won't all make sense right now, but it will.
I got a few more questions left to wrap this up. Do you have a morning routine? If you do, what is it?
winning team. Well, I've started this whole thing now with myself called Beat the Sun. I've looked up the hashtag Beat the Sun to see if anybody else is doing it, because I'm like, is this a shirt? You know, so I can see if maybe I can make it into something. my goal is to beat the sun before the sun wakes up. I want to be up first and I want to start working on my work before work. And that's some advice that I saw from a friend. She tweeted that out and she probably didn't know she inspired me, but she did. So I want to be able to start working on work before work. So I get up, latest maybe 6:30. Unfortunately, I've been checking Facebook like all of us any drones now, unfortunately. But, I try to wake up now and watch a motivational video or a sermon from a pastor that I admire, or, read the word if that's what's on my mind, or, read a motivational book that I have. I have a book by John C. Maxwell called Good Leaders Ask Great Questions. So I'll wake up and I'll read that, or I'll read any of my books, because now I'm building this, self-help book army. I just wake up and, like I'm so happy to be awake. I'm just so happy to be alive. I used to sleep on the floor for a while just because I wanted to, because I wanted to stay grounded. Literally, it's just stay grounded. So I would sleep on the floor until I started sleeping on my hands. I don't have a pillow. I'm worried about it. So I'll sleep on my hands. I heard my wrist. Unimportant story. But I sleep in the bed now. Nonetheless, I just wake up with gratitude, because while somebody is like, what? You're sleeping on the floor? Like, you tripping? You got a bed? What's wrong with you? But it's not about that. It's about the fact that I have a home to stay in. And I'm about to pay rent again, and I'm going to be back to $0. And it doesn't matter to me, because my life revolves around waking up and inspiring others to be great. And so I wake up with that mindset. And just like I'm about to have $0 after I pay my rent, somebody's going to have $0 as well. And somebody probably already has $0 and they can't pay their rent. So how can I inspire them to keep going? My mind is always on the people. And I wake up and I ask myself, do you have any plans to inspire someone today? And when I go to bed, I ask, who have you inspired today? And that's kind of how my days and nights work.
Cool. Do you have any books or podcasts or resources that people can use to become more creative?
Well, I mentioned John C. Maxwell's Good Leaders Ask Great Questions. Definitely get that. Creative Live is an amazing platform. So if anybody is interested in learning business, photography, entrepreneurship, like anything on there, they have great stuff. So the Creative Live is a really good platform that I use. Anything from Tony Robbins on YouTube, he's a great guy. He just put out a book recently, and instead of benefiting from the sales, he's donating every sale to this organization that feeds third world countries or something like that. And he's so cool that he was like, before you guys think I'm just doing this as a selling tool, I'm already gonna write the check to this business for the amount of a couple millions or whatever to help feed these third world countries. And I think Tony Robbins has fed over 4 million people or something crazy like that. So anything from Tony Robbins, that dude is he's honest, he's sincere, he has a very raspy voice. So I hope you guys enjoy. But those guys, those books, those websites, and they'll lead you to a lot of things. Follow the rabbit holes. So once you start finding one, YouTube even does this autoplay thing now too, so you can find anybody now with those kind of details. And once you start Googling stuff, more stuff comes up. Look at those book reviews, see who else they mention. Oh, I hate Seth Godin, but I love this person. All right, look them up too, and still like Seth Godin because Seth is cool. So.
Yeah. One thing I would say there is do that research, but also take action once you've learned things. Because
there you go.
Without taking action, you're really in the same place that you were before you started. So it's definitely important to do that step.
Right.
Is there, the next question is, Who is somebody that you find extremely creative that you know personally, and somebody you don't know personally who is also extremely creative?
Who do I know personally? I know a lot of people that are creative. I think I surround myself with nothing but creatives now, just to keep me sane. I don't know, there's so many people. Homie Chasney, homie Francita, they're graphic designers. Two powerhouse women that, I value a lot. So I'll send them this podcast and they can hear that I'm talking about. they're graphic designers, so everything about what they do has to be creative. In their own regards. And like I said, there's so many people that inspire me, even by accident. I saw somebody make a joke one day on Facebook, and I'm like trying to turn their joke into an event. So accidents happen. People inspire me all the time. Somebody I might not directly know that inspires me. Right now it's Gary Vaynerchuk. And if you guys know who he is, then great. If you don't, then he's probably, and it sucks to say this, but he's probably the honest entrepreneur right now in the game, because he's not trying to sell you a course. He's not trying to have you sign up for his class. He's just giving out information because he wants to see you guys be better. He wants to see you guys succeed just as he has succeeded. And so, I don't know him. Hopefully, I'll be good enough one day to maybe have him call me and speak or be on this, the show.
Submit a question.
Yeah, so hopefully, that could be something cool that happens. But Gary Vaynerchuk, he's awesome. Go watch his show. So, yeah.
Yeah, I believe it's called Ask Gary V.
Yes, it is.
And the last question to wrap this up is, what is your definition of creativity, and what can people do to be more creative?
So the definition of creativity to me is, I don't know, if you ever look at land, find somewhere empty in your community that has nothing there, and watch what happens when something gets built up in that spot, what happens to everything around it. And I think that's creativity at its finest, because the moment you plant something, a building, a tree, a park, everything around that space starts to transform and shift, and I think that's the power of creativity. When you put out that one thing, that idea, that concept, before there was music in the music industry and microphones, somebody had to maybe sing into a coconut, and that inspired something, and someone said, what if we didn't have to hold this anymore? And then that became something, and then a couple years later it was like, oh, AC and DC and electricity, and like, what if we did this? And so all those moments sparked another circle of events, and so every time we come up with a new idea, it's a new circle created, a new building, a new park, a new forest, a new this, a new that, and things spring up all around it. And sometimes if you build one thing in that spot, you might have to change everything in the community around it to benefit. So you can't have the old irrigation of pipes that went along with that system. You have to change those pipes, with those pipes when you connect to the pipes next to it. So then you have to change their pipes, and then you have to change their systems and their water flow and their things. And now it's just one long process of things that starts to create. So that's cool to see things create right before our eyes, and then what happens when that creation is done, because it doesn't stop there. Creativity, when there's an empty spot and something builds up, things grow around it, things build around it, other things change around it. When it dies, the same process happens in reverse. So things can't grow there anymore, things change in that area. People around us start kind of following that death of what happened. And so watching something build and watching something get destroyed is the best way to understand creativity, because all of us, this is what happens. We build, we destroy, we build, we destroy, and then some of us stay, at that destroyed level, and you know, some people keep regenerating and regrowing and rebranding or whatever it is. So that's kind of what I think about when I think of creativity, things that can build and destroy.
Hmm. Is there a certain method that you use to go through that process of building and destruction?
I try to be my best friend and my own worst enemy when I come up with a concept. So I'll drop an idea out of my head and I'll run with it. Like, oh my gosh, I can see myself doing blah, 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 blah. And then I'll go on the back end like, oh, that's stupid, that's this. Like, why would you, you know, and I'll think about it from that tug of war. So that tug of war of my thoughts. And then I'll find a happy medium and I'll keep trying again. And then when I'm done, like, I love presenting things to others as an idea. Hey, I got an idea. That's what I say all the time. Like, I need to share the baby says, hey, I have an idea. Ask me what it is or something. And that's what I do. Hey, I got an idea. And then I don't tell them the idea. I ask them a question to see if my idea makes sense.
Hmm. What kind of question?
of course, I should have known. So instead of asking them, should I create a podcast show about living out your golden dreams, I won't say, hey, I got a show called Dream Without Limits Radio. It's a podcast show about helping people living out their goals and dreams. Yay, Alex. You're saying there's nothing for us to discuss. But if I say, hey, man, like, if you had to listen to a podcast show or something on the radio, like, what would you want to hear? And so they'll start telling me, I would love to hear about this and that and that. Well, let's talk about professionalism. Let's talk about your goals. Like, would you listen to something that maybe gave you some direction? Yeah, you know, I think I would. And I probably wouldn't know about entrepreneurship and writing a business plan, da da da. So I'll take what the people have told me again and turn it into a podcast.
Awesome. Well, Alex, this has been really fun talking to you. I think we covered a lot of the topics on growth and just being a better person and how to, like, take the next step in your life. So I just want to thank you for that. Where can people find you online?
People can find me Twitter. You can find me at IamThatGreat. You can find me on Twitter. Twitter will connect me to all my different things, but you can find me also on thefoolies.com, and thefoolies.com will have websites set up for like Instagram and Facebook stuff to follow my pages on there. Or just Alex Hanse, AlexHanse, add me on Facebook, but tell me like where you're adding me from, and if you heard this show and you're adding me because of that, like, don't just add me, I'm going to leave it there because I don't know who you are. We haven't spoken, so at least say, hey, Alex, you know, I'm going to add you on Facebook. I heard you on, you know, this really cool podcast show, and we just wanted to connect with you or, you know, follow your account or page or whatnot. So just communicate. It's a very powerful concept. So just say, hey, I'm adding you because of this, and I just, you know, creep with it, I guess.
Cool. Well, yeah, thanks again for coming on. It's been a lot of fun.
No, thank you, and keep rocking and being amazing, my friend.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
And that's it for the 35th episode of Cracking Creativity. For show notes, go to crackingcreativity.org/35. If you like this episode, subscribe to the show on iTunes at crackingcreativity.org/subscribe. Also, feel free to write a review or leave me a comment about the show. Hope this stoked your creative fires, and I'll see you next time on Cracking Creativity.